with every launch, there's so much that's in your control and there's also so much that is out of your control.
That's it.
You can have everything perfect in your launch. You know, like I was so happy with the copy that I wrote for that launch, but it was completely out of my control that my audience was exhausted and their calendars were full and they couldn't commit to 4 weeks of calls. Like that's not within my control. All we can focus on is the things that are in our control.
Welcome to Imperfect Action. I'm Steph Taylor. For years, I read all the books, downloaded all the freebies, and did all the courses. But it wasn't until I started taking Imperfect Action that my business had its first million-dollar year. Imperfect Action is about doing things before you're ready, prioritizing consistent action over perfect action, and moving forward, even when you're not sure you're doing it right. On this show, you can expect mindset advice, actionable marketing tips, and strategies to build a business that brings you more profit, more freedom, and even more joy. Are you on the list to get my daily biz boosters? Every day, I'll send you a bite-sized prompt designed to help you grow your business in a more intentional way. Sign up at stephtaylor.co/DBB or at the link in the show notes. Hey, welcome back to Imperfect Action. This is episode 761. Today is a little bit of a different episode where I'm chatting with Anita Seek, who is one of my biz besties and real life best friends. We're debriefing on our launches from 2023. So Anita runs a very similar business to mine in that most of her business is also based around launches of her courses and programs. She's a brand strategist, a copywriter. She is the founder of Word Fetti, and she's also the host of Brand Fetti podcast. So if you haven't checked out her podcast, go and listen to it. But after you listen to this episode, of course. And today we're sharing what worked well in our launches in 2023, what didn't work, and what we're going to change going forward into 2024 and beyond. It's a very candid, very casual chat, but I know that you'll get a lot out of listening to two experienced launches talking about what goes on a little bit behind the scenes. So enjoy.
And we're back. We are back where we are going to be doing the 2023 debriefs of our launches. Ooh, I am a bit nervous, but also very curious about this one with you, Steph. So if you were just tuning on in, I have got my biz bestie, Steph Taylor, here on the podcast. If you're tuning in also on podcast, Imperfect Action, hello, I am Anita. I'm the workwife. And I am also the host of Brand Fetti, the podcast. We're doing a bit of a series of conversations. So we recently did one over lessons of 2023. We've got one more coming too about predictions for 2024. But today we're talking about debriefs for launch. Steph, let's kickstart with you. So when it comes to the launches that you've had in 2023, maybe walk us through some of the, like, I think we were going to go through like some of the things that didn't go well, things that did go well. Should we go through from the beginning?
Yeah. Should we start with what didn't work? Let's start with what didn't work.
Let's go.
All right. So I'm going to start with the most recent one that was like oh, why did this not work? But in hindsight, I understand why it didn't. So around, I think it was like mid to late November last year, I did an audience survey. I always do my audience surveys and I realized, oh, nobody knows what they're doing next year. Everyone's overwhelmed. They're scattered. They don't know what they're doing in 2024. So I thought, oh, I'm going to just put together like a small group 2024 planning strategy intensive kind of over 4 weeks. We go through and plan out everything for 2024, work through the mindset blocks that are stopping them from taking action on the things they want to do. And it was a solid offer. Like I was pretty stoked with it. I wrote all the copy myself because it was such a last minute thing. I was so happy with it. And we ended up not going ahead with it because not enough people signed up for it to be worthwhile. And it was such a shock to me at the time because I was like, everyone's overwhelmed. They so clearly need the strategy and the planning and the action steps, but everyone was so overwhelmed that they couldn't commit to doing extra calls pre-Christmas. So it was good insight to learn, you know, maybe next year, November, December, we probably will not launch something like that. But yeah, it was kind of like a reality check because we haven't had a failed launch in a very long time. It was such a reality check of, oh yeah, that can still happen.
All the time. Yeah. 100%. It can happen all like at any given time. So when did you decide to kind of be like, no, we're not going to go ahead with it?
I think it was just after doors closed. Yeah. I kind of had an inkling about halfway through. I was like, oh, at this rate, we probably would have wanted a few more people signed up. But, you know, the launch is never over until doors close. And some launches I've had where most people sign up at the last minute. But this one, it was after doors closed. And I had to do the whole email to a few people like, sorry, we're not going ahead with this because we just don't have enough people. Like, it's not worth our while to go ahead with it. And to be fair, like, it wasn't like we'd been planning this launch for months. It was something that I spotted the opportunity. I was like, cool, let's throw this together, see what happens. I had outlined what we were going to do each week in the group calls, but I hadn't actually created it. And then I turned that outline. I was able to use that outline anyway, because I taught that then to my Freedom Fast Track students in January instead of teaching it to a small group. So I was able to reuse that anyway.
Yeah, that's it's one of those things where it's interesting because I have a slightly different perspective for launching something in November and December. And I guess it really speaks to what people need in that given moment, right? I think when I reflect on we'll talk about the wins in a moment, but when I reflect back on 2023 and a learning or a failure learning that I had was towards the second launch that we had for Word for Your Words, which is our signature copywriting program towards the second half of the year, which was around September. Our ads were very, very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. Because we ran a 3-day challenge and the conversion rate was chef kiss. Like it was like 17-18% when we did the 3-day copy confidence challenge. And it is a really great challenge. Like,
so 18% of the people in the challenge converted into Word for Your Words?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's insane.
It's the highest we've ever had. And we launched that in a way at the beginning of the year. So I'm like, you know what? Now we're going to go ham on ads.
Yeah.
You know, because we didn't really put as much ads in the April launch, which was when we first did the challenge. So come September, I'm like, yep, we're going to put X amount on ads because now we know we've got some data. We've got the math.
Yes.
So we ran ads and look, so many different things can influence how much ads cost, of course, from external factors to, gosh, so many different factors, right? But I think I had placed so much hope towards using ads for us to really get the people that we wanted into the challenge that I think we started ads probably 2.5 weeks before the actual challenge. And it literally got I usually leave ads up around 5 days to see how it goes and, you know, then make the call. What do we do? It was costing us almost, oh my goodness, like 100, or I don't even remember. Did I text you about this? Like it was like $100, $120. Per person.
Yeah, I remember this.
Signing up to, which by the way, it is a paid challenge. So we were also hoping to offset the cost. But that was just beyond because it was $49 per person and then it was increased. The price was also increased. So we weren't even making back. You know, we were losing money. But in a way, I was like, I really wanted to like, you know, get that number, but.
Yeah.
Towards probably day 10 was when we were like, you know what? No, this is
not worth
it. This is not happening. And it really, I was frustrated. I'm not going to lie because I was like, this launch, I was like, we knew we needed X amount of people to get X. And we didn't get the number. And of course, there was a little bit of me that was like, why? But it taught me a lot because I think I had not diversified the I just put almost all my eggs in the basket of trusting the fact that we were going to get X amount in people signing up to the challenge, that I forgot what, you know, what they say about how there's usually 5 or 10 or 10%, whatever, of what you do that will create the 90%.
Oh, the 80-20 rule, the 20% leads the 80%. Look, yeah, Pareto principle.
Or the queen bee role, whatever. And one of the biggest things for me, which I definitely found towards the second half of the year, that I kind of wobbled a little bit with me and the team, was the consistency in our content. And we were still consistent, but we weren't, like, there was a lot of arenas where, like, even with emails and all of that, that we started to, and this is also personally, I knew towards the second half of the year, I was, to be honest, like, exhausted. Exhausted towards the second half of the year, towards September, October, along with so many people I know who probably would have been exhausted too, that I think towards the second half of the year, I just put all my eggs in a basket of the ads that I didn't think to continue on with that momentum with the 20% that I knew, which was, you know, just completely original, different pieces of content on our social media. A lot of our content is usually a mix of repurposed content, which still is the case. I'm a big lover of repurposed content, but we definitely wobbled a little bit, purely also because I was just exhausted.
I feel that.
Yeah. So that was probably our learning towards the launch that we had, the second launch. We just had big hopes with ads and it just didn't pan out. But you know what? You have no control over
it's so hard.
Ads.
Like, you know, with every launch, there's so much that's in your control and there's also so much that is out of your control.
That's it.
You can have everything perfect in your launch. You know, like I was so happy with the copy that I wrote for that launch, but it was completely out of my control that my audience was exhausted and their calendars were full and they couldn't commit to 4 weeks of calls. Like that's not within my control. All we can focus on is the things that are in our control. And in your case, yeah, the content that you're sharing, how you're showing up, how you're removing the risk of just relying on that one source of leads for your challenge. Yeah, it's always a lesson, isn't it?
100%. Always. What would you say has been something that has worked well in your launches last year, Steph?
Oh,
I think that you feel like it's worked really well.
So one thing that we do every time that we launch Magic, I think we started doing it actually in 2022 for the first time. And it's been such a game changer in 2023 as well, is teaching module one of Launch Magic as a live workshop for free. So many people don't quite understand what is actually involved in Launch Magic. They're like, oh, like, how is this 12 weeks long? Like I want to launch really quickly. Like surely this is just going to be repeating so much beginner stuff. And then as soon as they do module one, they're like, oh, I get it. There's actually a lot to it. There's a whole strategy here that I didn't even know I needed. And this is, and because we get straight into it, like it's straight into the meat and the potatoes, like the Americans say, it's straight into the good stuff. It's not like we're spending the first module just doing basics. And that gets them across the line. Like there've been so many people who have signed up because they've done that workshop and they've seen what's inside it. Previously in 2022, I just released the module. I gave them access to the pre-recorded module for 72 hours and so many people didn't complete it, but teaching it live was the game changer. That was, so you know, people registered, they showed up, they could ask questions. It was the way to do it. Yeah.
So a cue, when you say you taught it live, how long was the session? Or was it like a summarized version of that?
It was like module. Maybe 90 minutes. Module, like my modules are, you've never done my courses. Terrible friend.
Terrible friend.
I'm not one of those, like probably the longest video in my course, in any of my courses would maybe be 20 minutes. Like I'm a short, like yeah, if you same. Listen to my podcast episodes, my lessons are the same. It's like, this is what you need to do. Sometimes I might give you a bit of why you need to do it, but generally you probably already know why you need to do it. This is what you need to do. This is how you're going to do it. Here is a spreadsheet or a workbook to go and implement it. That's kind of my process. So yeah, all of module one's pretty short, but there's a lot of Q&A time in there. and a sales pitch as well.
I love that. So it's almost like giving them that first step, quick win.
Yeah.
So that it almost is like, okay, I mean, even if they turned up to the masterclass or the webinar, they would have gotten epic value.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. This is epic value, but it's like, if they want to continue on, it's like the most perfect next step.
Yeah. And this is separate to,
I love that.
So I do a masterclass as well, which is very different to this is module one, the two separate events.
Yep. Yeah. That's awesome.
Ooh, yeah.
What, I like it.
What worked well for you?
So to expand on when I was chatting about what didn't go well, every single time, and this happens with each launch, it's always something that just does not go to plan. I'm just going to say it out right now. There's always, for me anyway, there's always like a tech fart. There's usually like just something that just does not go to plan. When things don't, one thing I feel like has really supported us and helped us a lot in the last year, but also the last year and a bit, I feel, because we had our worst launch probably towards the end of 2022. And this was when it all started for me and the team, where we would kickstart the launch, we would prep and do all the things, but then you don't really know until you're kind of in the thick of the launch what the vibe is. Like, it's almost like a science experiment where you're like, you're hypothesizing that given this and this and this, that you think it's probable that it's this. But it's not until you do the freaking thing that you're like, oh, okay. So with your example, it's just like, okay, people are really overwhelmed and this is not the thing that they may want. So one thing that has worked well, especially moments like that when things are not going to plan and ads are very expensive, is literally me. So I will literally go in me writing or rewriting certain emails in our launch sequence.
Yeah.
So that is something that I did with the previous launch, but also the launch earlier in the year as well. Where yes, the launch emails are done prior, but the thing is there is fluidity for us to actually completely rewrite or tweak certain emails within the middle or introduce new bonuses. So with both our launches in 2023, we rewrote, probably the last 3-4 days worth of emails and tweaked certain messaging, in the emails, which I feel like, and I think has really supported us in still getting the numbers that we had projected or aimed for. And this is a bit of a mixture, as in the next question that people may actually have is like, well, how or what do you rewrite or why do you rewrite it? So obviously when you open doors, you start having conversations with potential students and people, or even in QA, you start getting people asking certain questions. And there are usually certain things that I would see and feel or read. And what would then end up happening is if there is a certain theme. So for example, one of the biggest objections I feel like for 2023 was just time overwhelm, time. And I heard that consistently, and I feel like you probably would have as well, right? And of course, when it comes to objection handling, when it comes to time, it's like more around prioritization, like they're not prioritizing and all of that. But that was not enough. Like even us explaining like this is why you should prioritize it and this is why copy is really key, that wasn't in a way enough. And I think what really helped, I feel like, with our last two launches to support this particular objection was actually literally getting one of, like a number of our students actually speaking to this objection and how this looked like for them. So we interviewed a series of, like students or alumni and actually would ask them questions and being like, you know, you're a mom and you, for example, you're a mom and you've got like 2-3 little humans and your time poor. So how did you actually go through word for your words and actually launch your sales page or launch your website? So we then started to create content really specific, not just saying this is why you should care about copy and learning how to write copy, but actually placed someone who fit that persona almost to a T And time and lack of time was relevant for the busy mums. It was also relevant for someone who was in the thick of service execution and delivery. So we then chose also specific personas that fit within time. If that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Really similar, actually, as you were speaking, I was like, oh yeah, we did this as well in two of our launches. So at the start of last year, I launched Freedom Fast Track for the first time. And obviously when you launch something for the first time, you kind of don't really, you're still feeling it out, right? You're still trying to figure out like what objections are people going to have? What questions are they going to ask? And the one question that kept coming up was, I'm at this stage in my business. This is how much money I'm making. This is the kind of business I run. Is this a right fit for me? So I think it was like 2 days before doors closed, I went and just created a quiz for people to figure out where they could answer a bunch of multi-choice questions and figure out if they were a right fit for it or not. And I added that email in. That converted so many people. The other thing that I did in one of our Launch Magic launches last year, so very similar to what you did, one of our big objections is, oh, my audience is too small to launch. I need to wait. I'm going to grow my audience first and I'll join next time. So I added a case study email of somebody who had, I think she had 150 people on her email list when she launched and had like a $16,000 launch. Right. For each of those specific objections, I went through, because I have so many testimonials, so many case studies, I went through and I was like, what case study can we turn into an email here to just speak to that directly? So yeah, 100%. I'm a big fan of adding extra emails as soon as you start spotting new objections. Like it's all well and good. Schedule it all. Great. But also listen to what people are asking you and add those
and
things.
And the conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. Have the combos. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, why are you not buying?
Yes, 100%. It's also, I think, when in the topic of testimonials, such a big missed opportunity for us to, we think testimonials is just, oh, it was so nice to work with Steph and she is awesome and she smiles really nicely. Like, it's not just nice words about you. Like, you can get strategic and start theming up your testimonials. Like, maybe it's time. Maybe it is, out of budget, but then they're like, I make back my money in X amount of days, start theming up your testimonials. Yeah.
Yeah. This is actually a tweak that I've made. So I do all of my testimonials via Zoom. I used to stick to a script where I had set questions I would ask everybody. And then I would turn their responses into a testimonial, get them to check it and then use the testimonial. But now I've actually stopped sticking with the script. I'm now more interested in listening to what they're telling me. And try to identify what parts of their story somebody else who is my ideal client is going to relate to. And then I can ask extra questions about those parts of the story. So similar to what you did with your clients.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. What are you going to do differently this year when you test in 2024, Steph?
So one thing we have started doing already is working with a Facebook ads agency. For so long, I've been running the ads myself because I'm actually really good at it. But
you're very good at it.
It's not the best use of my time. And as a result, it was kind of the ads were becoming an afterthought in all of our other launches because launch strategy is where I shine. And then the ads were just something that I could do. So they would become like cart openers tomorrow. I'd better go set up some ads instead of strategically having somebody like, creating the graphics and the caption, like the text, everything. Now I've got an ads agency doing that for our next launch, which will be really interesting to see how that goes. Something else that we're doing differently is just being a lot more organized with our launches, a lot more structured. There's always been an element of ad hoc because most of the launches that I did in the first couple of years of my business were just me. So I was working off my own mental to-do list. I wasn't having to give instructions to anybody else. And then in the last 2 years, I've really started delegating parts of the launches. But at the end of the day, it's all still been, I've still been the one it's all in my head and I'm delegating. So now trying to be a little bit more structured in terms of all of the tasks are in ClickUp. There is nothing in my head and all of the processes are getting documented and we're starting to, everyone knows what they need to be working on at any given point. And if they can't meet a particular deadline, well, then they need to communicate that in time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's such a transition, right? Like it's sometimes you can't help but be like, I don't want to document all my launch steps, but it's we did that last year, like literally create like a template for each like Word for Your Words launch or this. And now it's so much. The first one is like where you have to pour in or like, what do I do? Like during a launch, because I'm like, I don't know. Like I just like, it's just so in our head that we just do not think to like when we start to remove certain things out of the things that we do, we're just like, oh, wow, I do all that. What?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, we've been through, this is now our third launch where since we started building out our master launch process, and it's still, there's still so much that needs refining in it, but it's getting there.
It's always a work in progress.
Always exactly.
Always.
Yeah. What are you going to do differently?
You know what? I really miss writing like love letters or emails to my email list. Huh? So I would now I say it, it's going to be like hashtag keep me accountable, but I would love to write more emails and love letters. I'm going to coin it love letters to my audience. And I think, yes, there is podcast content that I do, but this is, again, this comes back to, and I think we were talking about this in the first conversation episode that we were doing. I used to just write it so quickly, but then it's just come to like towards the last 2-3 years, these emails in my head are just like, oh no, it must have so much value in it that I then don't write the email, because you know, we get such incredible, beautiful responses from people for our e-lesson. So one of our freebies that I'm like, oh my God, I need to always make sure it is as much and as good a value. But I definitely want to write more emails, and I want to connect with the community in our emails, a lot more. So that's definitely one thing I definitely want to test and do and have some fun with this year. More emails and love letters.
I love that. I think that's our launch debrief episode done. How exciting. And join us. Make sure you're subscribed to both of our shows, Brandfetti and Imperfect Action. And we'll be back in your ears very soon, both of us, with our 2024 predictions. Yay.
Woohoo. Chat to you guys.
See ya.